Alrighty, so for tonight,
we want to consider the topic, the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness. And when you think about it, when we're thinking in terms of addiction, other undesirable self-destructive behaviors, a lot of times we realize they emerge because there's really a deep-seated unhappiness in our lives or with our lives. Something's missing, something, like we don't feel happy where we are. And like most drugs are what we call mood-altering drugs, because the mood that we're in is not the mood we want to be in. And we think, well, I'll take this, it'll make me feel better. But it's the thing, is that we get ourselves in situations in our lives where, when we're honest, we just find, I'm not happy in this situation. And we convince ourselves, well, if I indulge in this certain substance, I indulge in this certain behavior, this will make me happy. And that's so often the mindset that we have, that this will solve this will make me happy. And of course, a lot of times it does happen that way. And when you understand the way the brain works with dopamine, that we get this rush of dopamine when we have one of these things happen to us, and we have those feelings of euphoria. But of course, what happens, that only lasts for a very short time, especially with drugs and other things like that that are not healthy behaviors. We have that euphoria, and it lasts for a while, but it always goes away. And if it's something that we know is wrong, that we shouldn't have done, what we have in left over is really a feeling of being miserable and ashamed. It's kind of like, you could think of it sometimes how you have like something, it might, the initial taste might be good, but then it has a really bad aftertaste. And that's kind of how a lot of things are, that yes, they make us feel good for a moment, but then there's this bad aftertaste afterwards. But the thing is, we become more and more dependent on that substance or behavior. We're miserable until we indulge again. And so it's kind of this pursuit of happiness that we have, it's really where it's just in a very short moment that we're happy. It's like we're miserable until we get it, we're miserable after we get it, but then in that time we have it. And so we kind of have a sense of what happiness could be, but it never lasts. And we realize that's not what we want. And so we want to understand that in the Bible, God shows us how to find true happiness. And as we find that, really that can be a key to us to help us break free from our addiction as well. So I'm going to start off with four things that really are lies that we often believe concerning our happiness. And so first of all, we convince ourselves that I will be happy based on what I possess, on the things that I have in my life. That's going to make me happy. And we should be content with what we have. We should be thankful for what we have. But a lot of times what happens is we see what someone else has, and different things start spinning around in our mind where we become envious of what they have. We think, boy, how did they get that? Why didn't I get that? And we get kind of a jealousy going, even though what we had was perfectly fine. We were happy with it maybe just moments before, but suddenly we're unhappy about it. And you can think most of advertising today, the whole idea of it is to make you discontent with what you have, so you'll desire this product and think that it's going to help you. And so we see that it talks about in Proverbs 14, verse 30, it says that envy is the rottenness of the bones. That it's something that just eats away at us. And Luke 12, verse 15, Jesus says that we're to take heed and beware of covetousness, because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. And so we have to realize that if we're having this idea, well, I want this and I'm not going to be happy until I get it, we realize we're in a wrong way of thinking. And the thing is having been convinced or having convinced ourselves that a certain object is a source of our happiness, what happens a lot of times is we're willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to get that thing because we think this is the key to my happiness. If I get it, it'll be worth it. But what happens is a lot of times we sacrifice what's really of value. You could think of it, someone has this idea, well, I want to have like this sports car, I want to have this yacht or something like that. And so they decide, well, I'm going to get this job where I'm just making a ton of money, but I'm never home with my family. And yet, at the end of the day, they might get a yacht, but they have no relationship with their family to go on the yacht with them. And so you realize, okay, maybe you've gained something, but you've lost something a lot more important. And so it's like, yay, I've got this big thing to enjoy and nobody enjoy it with. Like, that's not going to be a very happy situation. Then a second lie we often convince ourselves that I'll be happy based on what I experience. What I experience by something that I'm able to do, and in life there's lots for us to do, and so if we stay focused and productive, really this is somewhere we're not affected by it. But often what happens, we end up getting bored with our present situation, and we think, oh well, if I just was able to do this, boy, that would make me really happy. And we look for some kind of adventure we can go on, something that we can achieve, and we think, well, this experience that I go through, this will make me happy. But the thing is, if we're looking to an experience to make us happy, then we always have to be in the midst of that experience to be happy, right? That we have to be doing something else. And so you can think of it of how someone maybe they're in some kind of I remember we were watching this movie about this guy that was doing marathon running. Well, it was beyond marathon running, it was like super long distance running. And I was actually reading a bit about him, and he basically said it became his addiction, just the thrill of it. He had to always go and do one, and it got to the point where he did this run from California to New York when he had bad knees and ended up having some heart issues and like kind of his health was endangered by him pushing himself farther. And so it's realizing just how we have that it's, if you have to have this experience, it's always you have to have another experience to stay happy. And it's the thing, if we're looking for a new experience to make us happy, that each time we have a new experience and we go through it, it becomes old again. We can't go through the same experience the same time and have the same enjoyment from it. We have to do something else. And it forces us to search for something new. And sometimes in that search, we end up doing things a bit more and more dangerous as well. And you can think of people that where you might call them an adrenaline junkie, where they're into like an extreme sport, where something where this was a real challenge and a danger, that was such a rush, well, I got to do something else that's even more dangerous and crazy. And sometimes they can get killed trying to pull stunts that they never should have done, just because they're looking for that new thing and thinking this is going to make me happy if I experience this. But as well, we can convince ourselves that I will be happy based on where I am. On where I am. Because sometimes when we're in our current situation, our current surroundings, things are kind of frustrating and we wish kind of we'd have a change. And so we think, well, I can only be happy if I get away from this situation. And so sometimes we can get away short term, and so we go on a vacation, and we'll be happy on the vacation, or it might be for the long term, where we said, I'm just going to move, pick up and move, start afresh in a different place, and this is going to fix all of the issues that I'm having. And we have to really kind of think about that, because it can kind of be things, for instance, with a vacation. It's like you have a great time on vacation, but then vacation doesn't last forever, right? And so you have to go back, but then it's like, okay, you're back in the same situation again, and you're begrudging that. You're thinking of the good times during the vacation, and you just, and so basically, what are you doing? You're planning for the next vacation. And so it can be get that point where you're never really finding any enjoyment in your actual life. It's just that hope of your escape from it. And it is true, a change in scenery can sometimes be therapeutic and refreshing. Sometimes it allows you to just have a chance to get away from the stresses, to kind of think, look at things from a different perspective, and just kind of realize, okay, well, this I need to approach differently. Maybe this I need to let go. It just causes me too much stress. And that can be valuable. But it's the thing is, if we think that moving is going to be the solution to all our problems, what we find is that someone passes on our address to our problems, and they end up showing up again. That sometimes it can be is a person can have it where, well, I have this job just doesn't fit me, the boss is no good, and the coworkers are no good, so I'm going to get a different job. And then they get a different job, it's like, well, the boss is no good, coworkers are no good here, and they keep going, and it's like, well, wait a minute, maybe it's not just the boss and the coworkers that have issues that need to work through, right? And sometimes when we move and bounce around, we never actually take the time to confront, okay, what is my issue that I need to deal with? And that can happen. Sometimes it can be a person moves from job to job. Sometimes it can be from town to town. Sometimes it can be from church to church. Sometimes it can be from relationship to relationship. Because I'm not happy here. This other place, the grass is always greener on the other side. It'll be better over there. And then we get over there and it's like, well, nothing seems to have really changed. My perspective is not reality, that this is no better than where I was before. But then finally, we sometimes think, I will be happy based on who I am. And who I, maybe we think I'm not happy with who I am now, but if I become something different than who I am now, then that will make me happy. And we get the situation. Sometimes there's people we interact with that don't like us as we are. And there may be some legitimate reasons, maybe some illegitimate reasons. But sometimes we look in the mirror at ourselves and our personality and our strengths and weaknesses, and we don't always like who we are. And so we have to, we get into a place where we think, okay, well, I've got to make changes. And if I make those changes, then I can be truly happy. And we want to understand that there may be changes we can and should make in our lives to better ourselves. We should always be trying to improve ourselves. We don't want to just accept mediocrity in our lives. But sometimes we want to realize that there's things in our life that we can't change. There's things in our life that we shouldn't be trying to change. Especially if we're trying to meet expectations that are unrealistic. Because it's the way that things... did I get those flipped around the wrong way? I probably did. Sorry about that. That was my mistake. But it's the thing is that sometimes someone's wanting you to change, but what they want you to be, it's like you're never going to satisfy them no matter what. And so trying to do that, you can't make them happy. And so for you to try to make them happy is going to make you miserable. So you might as well not even go down that route. But there's some things where you have to come to accept, okay, this is who I am. This is maybe where I am at this stage in my life, and especially as you get older, like for myself, it's just in terms of things that I can and can't do that I used to be able to do when I was in my 20s. It's like I can't pretend that I'm a teenager. You have to accept different things like that. And so with all of these things, there's things that we pursue thinking that it's going to make us happy. And addiction often comes part of our lives either as we fail to gain what we think will make us happy, or when we do gain what we think will make us happy, but we find out that it doesn't actually lead us to the happiness that we thought that it would. And so that's the thing, is addiction a lot of times can be this pursuit of happiness. Sometimes it can be our fallback when we don't get to that place of happiness we're looking for. Sometimes it's just, okay, I didn't make it, or this didn't work out, and I'm just going to do this, and this will help me forget. So at least I'm not dwelling upon that. And it's kind of, with a lot of this, what it is there's that one verse in Proverbs where it says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That we enter into something thinking this will lead me to happiness. And so we're going, and we get to the end of the path, and we find out, okay, this wasn't the right path. So I wasted all this time and energy pursuing this. And so it's more what we want to do is we want to know from the beginning, okay, what is the path that I take that will get me to happiness? And it's not what I think, that we're not to lean under our own understanding, as it talks about in Proverbs 3, we're to trust what the Lord has to say. And so, excuse me, so we see in the scriptures different verses where it lays it out very plainly that happy is the man if this is part of their life. And so I'm just going to share those quickly with you, and you can kind of look through them later. But it's principles that we see God lay out, because he wants us to find the happiness that we're seeking, and he shows us the way. So first off, says truth number one, and we are happy if we help others. I think the reference is actually wrong there. It's in Proverbs 14:21. I thought that wrong for some reason. Proverbs 14:21. We are happy if we help others. It talks about specifically if we have, says, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. And so, it's the thing, is surest way to be miserable in life is to live a life that's selfish and self-absorbed. You can think of, say, a little toddler that's throwing a temper tantrum because they're not getting their way. Are they happy? Like, no, they're absolutely miserable, right? And they're making everyone else around them miserable. And it's the thing, if we have that idea where it's like, I want what I want, if I don't get what I want, I'm going to throw a temper tantrum, then we're never going to be happy. And it's more when we're learning to look around us and see others and think of their needs. And it's the thing, when we look past our own situation, even though it might be a difficult situation, and we see there's other people that are struggling, and we say, okay, I could help this person. I maybe have time, energy, resources. I can help this person, and that is going to be a pick-me-up. And that's going to lift that person's spirit, that someone was compassionate to them, but it's going to lift your own spirits. And so that's the thing, is sometimes if you're in kind of a miserable situation, you think, okay, I need to stop thinking about myself. I need to think, okay, is there someone I can help? And then when we help someone, that'll make us happy. And so learning that is learning to look past our own situation, see others' needs, and help them out. Truth number two, we're happy if our God is the Lord. And and we see that when we think of the term God, we can think of it in this way. God in our life is anything that we worship and sacrifice to. And so a lot of times when we think something's going to make us happy, we're focused on that. That becomes first place in our life, and so we're worshiping it in a sense. And many times we're very much willing to sacrifice for that thing because we think it's going to make us happy. And so, but what happens, we find that it doesn't make us happy, that this thing that is our God, we're basically praying for it to deliver us from our unhappiness. And essentially, we're praying to a God that cannot save us. And you think of it, in the Old Testament, we see guys that bow down to these idols of wood and stone, and we would look at it, well, how foolish they should know that that God isn't there. But it's the same thing as a lot of times we bow down to these things in our life that we think will bring us happiness, and they don't. And they're gods that can't save us from the trouble that we are. They can't save us from our own melancholy. And so it's the thing is that God wants to help us. And if we look at Him as being the source of our happiness, and the one that we should worship, the one that we should give our lives to, He's the one we can find happiness in. And it's as we develop that relationship with Him. And so happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And number three, we are happy if our help and hope is in God. And it's the thing is that when we're struggling with something, if we have to struggle all alone, it can be a very miserable time. But if we have someone, a friend that can come alongside us and help us kind of shoulder that burden, it makes the situation a lot more bearable. And so we sometimes look for a friend to help us, but what do we find? Sometimes we look for help, we put ourselves out there and actually have the courage to say, okay, I could use some help. And then sometimes the person's like, well, I got my own problems to deal with. You deal with your problems kind of thing. And they don't, maybe not willing to help us. Or maybe they simply can't help us. They just don't have the time, right? But it's something with God that He's always there. He's always willing and able to give us help. And so our help and our hope can be in Him. And the thing is, when we're in difficult times, hope is what keeps us going, right? That expectation that we'll get through this, but it'll work out good in the end, that we can trust that God's going to make everything come together. And it's the thing, when we can place our hope in different circumstances and things, and that's a lot of times that we have our hope for happiness in certain things that we do or possess or experience. But instead, if we place our hope in God, then we know that He's going to be able to keep our spirits up. He's going to help us keep going. Truth number four, and this is from James 5:11, we're happy if we endure difficulty. And so it's the thought that a lot of times we think, well, I'm going to be happy if I never have any problems in life. And the thing is, we're always going to have problems in life. And we can't have that idea that my circumstances determine whether I'll be happy or not. And it's how we respond to them. And it's the thing is, when we have a difficult situation, if we give in, we give up, we react wrongly, or especially when we grab onto some kind of substance or behavior as our coping mechanism to get us through the trial, we think. When we stand back, we realize, man, we missed out on a great deal of good things by giving in and giving up. And when we instead, where we make it through, we endure the trial, we pass the test, and then there's a reward at the end, then we're like, wow, this was worth it. I remember when I worked at Cominco that I actually got sent there on my birthday of all days. It was my first day at Kaminko, and we're doing this demolition in the oxide, which is one of the nastier places in the plant. And there is different things that was going on there, and there's a lot that could have been complaining about, but just kind of stuck with it, and it ended up, it kind of, at the last month or so, it kind of got to be like a run of Survivor series, where basically every week you'd have a couple people get laid off, and everybody think, well, am I going to be the one that gets laid off? And by the end of it, because I wasn't complaining, I just worked at it, it ended up that at the end a bunch of guys got laid off, even the foreman got laid off, but they kept me on because I wasn't one that would complain. And so it was like, wow, this was worth it. If I would have whined and complained, then I would have got laid off and I would have had to find a job somewhere else, whereas instead I had employment and ended up going to some nicer places in the plant than oxide. And so you learn that sometimes, that it's, if you get through the trial and you see, yes, it was worth it, then you can be very happy in that situation. And the thing is, we want to endure, but our endurance always has limits. And so as we look to God for help and hope, then He gives us the strength that we need to get through it. Where we just say, okay, I can't do this myself, Lord. I want to get to the other side. Please help me. And He gives us that help. We make it to the other side. And yes, pass the test. Experience the blessedness that came from passing the test. And then I can have that good feeling within. And again, it's a feeling that lasts, where you can look back and say, yes, this was worth it. I made it through, and I didn't give up. Number five, we're happy if we find wisdom. And I'm not sure why it's not showing the verse there. But Proverbs 3 and verse 13, it's like, happy is a man that findeth wisdom. And it's when we go through difficulties, we're wondering, what do I do in this situation? We're looking for the answer. And so when we find that answer, it's just such a relief, right? That it can be, you can think of the idea, say if you, you're having vehicle trouble and you're not sure what to do, but then you're able to call someone and they're able to tell you some quick fix that you can do so you can get it going, get back on the road, and get to a place of safety, right? That's just like, wow, thank you for that wisdom. I'm so glad I had someone there to help me, right? It saves us from a lot of heartache and frustration where you're struggling along trying to figure, well, how do I solve this mess? And I just have no idea. But we want to understand that God is a source of wisdom. That out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. And so, as we seek Him, He gives us the wisdom we need for our difficult situation. And so, we're happy if we find wisdom. Where do we go for wisdom? We go to God. But then finally, we are happy if we follow the wisdom that God gives us. And that, I think, is important, that we realize that it says in Psalm 128 that we're happy if we fear the Lord and walk in His ways. Proverbs 24:18, it says, where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And so it's the idea that God's word has many principles that when followed will lead us to a state of peace, joy, and satisfaction. We think is just one example. He talks about the importance of learning to be content and being thankful. That if we can have that mindset, that attitude of gratitude, that keeps us from getting into that whole situation where we're becoming envious, we're becoming covetous, and we're pursuing after these things that aren't really worth pursuing after. And so we want to understand that. He's trying to help us. He's saying, you follow this, this will lead to a good result. That this is good seed you plant, and you're going to reap something good out of it at the end. And it's a thought that we think of it, that you go to a doctor, you say, I have this problem, and you say, okay, I know what the problem is, this is a solution, you take the medicine that I prescribe to you, following these directions, and you'll be all better. And you go to the checkup, say in 3 or 4 months, the doctor says, well, how are you doing? It's like, oh, I'm miserable. I'm still the same problem as I had before. And he asks, well, did you take the prescription? It's like, no, I never even went to the drugstore. Or it's like, well, I got it, but I never actually took it. It's still in the full amount is in the little pill bottle. Or you say, well, I had all these complications. And they said, well, did you follow the directions? Did you take it 3 times a day with food? No, I took extra doses the one day because I felt really bad, and then I had all these crazy reactions. It's like, well, you're not following the directions, right? And so it's the thing. We can't expect the doctor's prescription to do us any good if we don't follow the directions and take the medication he's prescribed. And so it's the idea that God is, Jesus is referred to as a great physician, right? If we come to him and say, I'm not happy. And he says, okay, well, I'm going to tell you how to be happy. But we don't follow his directions. We're not going to find the happiness that he promises. And it's not going to be his fault. It's going to be our fault. So it's, we find the wisdom of God, and we're happy when we find it. But then we have to follow through with it and do what he says. And so that's what Jesus says in John 13:17. He says, if ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And that's the thing. It isn't just knowledge makes us happy. It's actually putting it into practice that makes us happy. And so true happiness can be found in life, but it cannot be found apart from God. And so it comes as we put our faith and trust in him in our daily life. If we learn to walk in his ways, and as we, through his strength, learn to endure the trials we face, and we learn to look past our own issues and trials to help other people, that's when we're going to find the happiness that we seek. And so it's really, he has this prescription. And so if we, all of us are really in that pursuit of happiness. I don't think any of us have this goal in mind. I want to be miserable in my life, right? We want to be happy. And so God says, yes, I know that's what you want. And so I am going to lay out that path for you. And so if you follow this, it will lead you to this. And so we have to learn to trust him that we've done it our way and thought this will make me happy. And we've gotten ourselves to be more miserable. And so if we follow his way, then we find the happiness that we seek.